back to the Act Two Podcast, a podcast for the real life working screenwriter. I am Tasha Hugh.
And I am Josh Hallman.
We are Act Two, a network and support group for the everyday working screenwriter, of which this podcast is one of the things we do. We also have a Patreon. We have an event coming up May 16th, Los Angeles.
I'll be there.
I was invited to a Dodger game that day, Josh. And I'm not going to that game. Instead, I'm doing this. And I'm excited about it.
Do you want me to one-up you?
Go on.
It's my anniversary.
Oh, no! Wait, why did you say that that date was okay?
Why did you say the Dodger game was okay?
Oh, my God.
So.
Are you going to bring your wife? Is this going to be your guys' date night?
No. I'm actually, I fake one-upped you. It's actually the next day. However, we have a school thing.
Oh, so you can't actually celebrate it that night.
Correct. So it was like, oh, we'll just do something. I was like, ooh, babe. I got the Act Two mixer.
Okay. I mean, that's still one up to me. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think Nicole might come.
She'll have fun. Paul came last time. It was great. He had a blast.
Yeah. Paul's going to be sitting next to an empty seat at the Dodger game. Nicole will be sitting next to an empty dinner table, like chair at the dinner table.
Candlelight dinner by yourself. But we'll be together, Josh.
Yeah, but we're going to be celebrating Act Two.
As our marriages fall apart around us.
But the turnout.
You guys better all come, all right? Yeah. I'm just saying.
Yeah. We'll have the Dodger game on in a live stream of my wife.
Well, all right. Come to our event May 16th. It'll be fun. We're going to have some surprises and prizes. And prizes. I'm really excited about that. And we're just going to hang out and talk about writing. It's just meet other writers. It was great how many people came and were just like, Tasha, let's sit down and talk about writing. Let's do it. That's the only place you can like go to a party. Usually parties are like, so what do you do? And what's your 5-year plan? Or who do you know? Or whatever. And that's not what this is. This is a like, oh my God, story. Oh my God, script writing. And just sharing our pain. And that was great.
For sure. It's having drinks, sipping some rosé, having some games that Tasha will supply. We're going to have some stuff there. It's going to be great.
You always got to have games for the introverts.
Yeah. Again, I'll be just bouncing around, but I have a This Week in Writing.
Let's go.
Okay. This Week in Writing.
This Week in Writing.
It's about our script we're working on.
Okay.
And I was just thinking, maybe this just might be me, of my writing process. The progression of the writing has gone like this. I've jumped into it. And I was like, this is awesome. And it's basically stayed like that for a really long time.
Yeah.
And now I'm like in Act Three and I can see the finish line.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, Josh, write faster. Get this script done, because I know I'm going to have to go back and there's some other things I already know I want to go back and like I have things that I'm like, come back and tweak this, and that I just kept going on. But I was just thinking about the process, like the phases of writing, even though you wrote the first half of it, the phases of like when you're in something. And for me, when I start to see the finish line, I either get like really excited or I get very anxious, and that anxiousness leads to
like you're trying to rush to the end.
I'm almost rushing, and I have to catch myself and be like, hey, man, don't
rush.
This
is as important as the ending. It's like, get through these scenes. Cause I always feel like, well, the end is more important. I got to get to the end and make it really awesome. It's like, no, like these scenes leading up to the end are equally important. I get
very emotional scenes. They're very, very important scenes. So I don't want to rush it. You're probably going to read it and be like, dude, you rushed this, but it's all good.
Mine was pretty rushed too, as you knew.
No.
Josh sends me a text after I sent it to him. He's like, yeah, I can tell. This is a first draft.
No, I did not say that. It's still great. Remember when I told you it was either going to be like 90 pages or 160 pages?
Yeah.
It's definitely on the shorter end of it. So that's it. I just wanted to discuss the stages of
okay, writing. I'm glad you're not in the like depressed phase where you hate it.
Oh, no. As a matter of fact, there's things in it where I'm like, I'm actually excited for you to look at it because I know there's certain things you're going to look at and be like, boom, this could be better and this is how it's better. Like there's just some elements that I know how your brain, that not works, but I know how your brain can elevate certain moments where it's just blind spots for me.
Cool. I'm excited. I have a small this week in writing.
Yo, go.
Okay. It's small and it's just that I'm really anxious. That's my this week in writing because tomorrow I have a pitch. It's the last phase of a pitch that's been like three phases of pitching. And this determines whether I get the job or don't. Even though like I've pitched this thing several times before and have read through it a million times as well, there's just something about the lead up to a pitch, Josh, mm-hmm. that is just so anxiety inducing. Because it's like going to an improv class. You just don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what curveballs are going to get thrown your way, what blindsides you have, whether you're going to just bomb it or not. And then I was talking to another writer today who she has two kids. And she likened pitching to having a child. Where once you're done, it's like, oh, like the biggest release of just... because you've been building up to this moment. And then, I was like, after a pitch, like, I just want to take the whole day off because I've been so just like, I'm just a ball of anxiety. So that's me. And it's a perfect segue to our topic today. Further proof that pitching is terrible.
Well, can I say something before we go into our main topic?
Yeah.
Are you the type of person who needs to be distracted before their pitch, or you're practicing for the pitch?
I practice like crazy before. Mm-hmm. Like I have a meeting at 11 to 11:30 tomorrow, but my pitch is at 1.
Okay.
And that's too close. I don't like that.
I thought your meeting was to practice the pitch.
No, my meeting is on another project. And I do not like that. just thinking about it, my heart's racing. Ugh. I want the whole day gone, nothing before my pitch, and I want nothing after it because I need to just lay on the couch comatose after a pitch and just completely decompress.
I think that's a great
idea. That's how much energy gets wound up in it for me.
Yeah, and it's in person.
Yeah, it's in person. Oof. Charging my little iPad right now to bring with me. Hopefully it doesn't die because it's really old.
Well, let's get you prepared.
I know, I'm throwing myself curveballs. Let's use this iPad I haven't used in fucking 6 years.
I feel like you're gonna like it be in person. You're like just like the sunlight, you know, and like someone like looks outside like a vampire for the first time, and you're like, fuck.
I know. Josh just said when I signed on that like I looked like I had rosy cheeks, like I'd been in the sun, and I was like, well, I went outside this weekend once.
Anyway.
Okay.
Tasha.
Yes.
So tomorrow when you're pitching, well, by the time this is released, you'll have gotten the job, but in preparation for tomorrow, let's talk about our main topic.
Pitching is terrible. Another installment in one of my favorite series that we have. In particular, we are going to talk about the things that producers or execs might say to you during a pitch meeting and how you can respond to those things. Our earlier episodes of Pitching is Terrible series, they cover how to come up with your pitch, how to write your pitch. But today we're talking about once you're already in the room, you're either in the middle of your pitch and someone interrupts you, or it's after your pitch during the kind of Q&A session of the part of your terrible pitch, which to me is like the total improv section of the meeting. Like you've prepared for days, weeks even, you've practiced for days, but now is when you have no idea what's going to happen and what's going to get thrown in your path. Josh and I have both had execs interrupt us in the middle of our pitches, or I've heard people say that people get up and take a call in the middle of their pitch. Someone has told me an exec got up and went to the bathroom during their pitch, which there's a bathroom attached to the conference room. He got up and just started pissing in the bathroom with the door open. Like, Like, keep going. I can hear you. So, you know, anything can happen. So let's talk about it.
First of all, can we talk about what you just said?
Spontaneous urination during a pitch.
So he got up and was like, I just have to run to the bathroom, but keep going.
Keep going. It's just right here. Yeah.
And it was a female?
No.
It was a male?
Correct.
Okay. My brain just processed. It was like Dr. Strange.
I feel
Strange.
Like because it's a guy, like there's less of a creepy factor to it, but there's certainly still a rudeness to it.
For sure. Yeah.
You would never, just as a person to person, that's just not a thing that you would do.
No, there is no world in which you do that. Unless you're hanging out with your buddy.
Exactly. Exactly. Like the nerve.
Okay. Anyway.
Well, so the first thing that you're often told at the end of a meeting, at the end of a pitch, is it's well told. Mm-hmm. Josh, what does this really mean?
That sucked. You didn't get the job, but, you know, good effort.
Yep. That's what that means. It means we have nothing good to say about this pitch. So I'm going to say one thing that I can say, like, good job.
Yeah.
Well told.
Well told.
It's a kiss of death.
When I heard that first, like one of the times I've heard that, I was like, crushed it, which I thought I had crushed.
For sure.
And I had done the pitch with a producer that I was working with, and we pitched it to some executives and another producer. And when I was like, dude, I killed it, you know, that, and like, they were like, well told, whatever. And then later the producer I was with basically was like, no, man, you didn't do a good job. Like, he was very honest with me and told me what I did not do correctly. And it was great. I mean, it hurt, obviously, but it was a good, like, lesson.
But they told me I told the story well. Yeah, what do you mean?
I had great energy. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you have great energy. That's another one I get a lot.
Oh, right. Yeah, so is that where it's kind of like, I guess what we're saying here is when someone is complimenting you specifically for your delivery, if that's it, it's usually not a great thing.
Yeah. I got this one recently. And it just happened to be, it's on the same pitch that I'm doing my third one, and hopefully, knock on wood, we'll get this job. But second or third pitch that I did, actually, I can't remember now. It's all blurry. But it was to, like, the executive just above the other people that I had been pitching to. I finish the pitch. Everyone applauds, which I hate. And then the guy goes, that was great. He's like, you seemed so happy while you were delivering that. Are you happy? And I was like, oh God, he hates it. He hates it so much. Because was in my head, this like well-told thing was in my head. And I can't tell if he was genuine or not. Like, I think sometimes that's just the nervous first reaction people have when they hear a pitch, because they don't know what to say, right? You just delivered them 20 minutes of information or more. Mm-hmm. And so like the only thing they can say to kind of transition them into giving you notes is like, good job, well told. So sometimes, like, it is possible that it's not always a bad thing, but it's mostly a bad thing, especially as Joshers are saying, it's like the only thing they have to say.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had some really bad ones. Like, I've had one where I finished the pitch, the president of the company was there, and he says, okay, tell me what you really want to do with your life. I was like, what do you mean?
No.
I want to write this movie.
When was this? How long ago was this?
Oh, blah, 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 blah. 20.
23.
Yeah. 2013, maybe 2014-ish. I don't know. It was actually on my first attempt at Red Sonja when I did not get the job.
Mm.
That's what they told me.
Wow. Friggin', let's find this guy.
Yeah. And then this one, which I've definitely told you, it was at the CAA building for some reason, but I was pitching to a network executive. For the first time ever, I was pitching around town a pilot script of mine. And I never pitched TV before ever. I never pitched, really, before. I'd pitched one movie before this round town Robin thing. Mm-hmm. So, and if you don't know, the CAA building is very intimidating. So it's just a room of windows and this pitching to this one guy. And at the end, he smiles and he says, I bet your mom is so proud of you.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
Gutted. Gutted now. Back then, fuck yeah, nailed it. I got this job. I'm going to be riding a pilot at CBS.
My mom is proud. I remember I had pitched and someone had said to me, along the lines of like, you just starting out, don't worry, it'll get better kind of thing. And I was like, I didn't just start.
I've been pitching this for so long.
What are you talking about?
My millionth pitch. Like,
yeah, it hurts. Anyway, that's all to say, it hurts sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to start off with that one because that's the most painful one. Okay, the next one I have, Josh, curious if you've gotten this one, but what about the insert logic hole here? Mm-hmm. Part of your pitch. What about this logic hole that's really glaring in your pitch?
Yeah.
And what about I tell this one because, I mean, I've gotten this one. What about it? What do you want to do about it? You want to fight about it? A producer that I know had someone pitch them something, and she saw a glaring logic hole that basically nullified the entire pitch. So it wasn't even just like, oh, there's like a little bit of a logic hole between your act two, break into act two and your midpoint that like, let's figure that out. It was like your pitch like is pointless if you have forgotten that this one fact exists about your story. And that horrified me hearing this story because I know that I definitely come up with ideas, pitches, TV, movie, doesn't matter, where I do not see a logic hole that's probably obvious to someone else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? You've turned in scripts. I've turned in scripts to writers group where we have spent weeks on this and it's just, we've struggled so hard with it. Every single line, we turn it in and then people in writers group are like, oh, like this doesn't make sense. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
I had no idea until I knew.
It's so nuts how that works and how your brain can connect the, like, and I don't know if this has happened to you, like in a pitch or I guess in any scenario, but where you're having to over explain the logic. And then you, as you are trying to over, or as you're trying to explain, which is leading to over explaining it, you realize, uh-oh, if I'm talking this much, this is a problem. Mm-hmm. But like, you just keep going because you're just like trying to own it. I don't know. That's at least what I've tried to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Which brings me to sort of what not to do. I think it's like, I think Rick, definitely keep your head. And I think don't try to fix, if you know it's illogical, don't try to just fix it like that. Or just don't try to, how should I say, don't try to explain it. Don't try to justify it. Because I think we have a tendency to feel defensive or embarrassed because, oh my God, we're such a moron because we didn't see that logic hole. So we start doing exactly what you're saying and we start rambling about how the logic actually works. If you were only in my head, executive, you'd see that it actually connects to this, 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 and then this. And then suddenly, like, you've lost everybody in the room and they also see you as being defensive. So to me, I think the best approach is to keep your head. If you really don't know the answer to the question, to the logic problem, I think that's okay. Just talk about how, oh, that's really interesting. Like I didn't actually think about that because I was really focused on this part of the story. Talk up the other parts of your story, the parts that do make sense, the parts that you really love and wanted to put forward as sort of the emotional core of your movie, the stuff that is really great. Like talk about that and you can say like, but like that's a really good point about that logic hole. Let me think about it. I'm gonna think about it and I want to get back to you on that because that's obviously an issue. But I really, again, like want to talk about this, the positive things about what I've just pitched you. There's another version too, where you can kind of collaborate a little bit with them to help find the answer, which is what we do in a writer's room, right? Like if I'll do a pitch and I'm like so invested in this pitch and this has happened a million times. So this is just something that happens as a writer. I'll pitch something and someone will say, yeah, but that doesn't work because of X, Y, or Z. I'm like, oh, damn. But I really like what I pitch. So how can we make it work? Right? Like, how do we fix this logic point? So there's a version where you're also like brainstorming a little bit with them. Don't get into like really development talk. That's not really what the pitch is for. But I think just showing that A, you're not defensive. B, you're not horrified and like paralyzed by the fact that there's a logic hole, but you're ready to address the problem and like get into it with them, I think shows that you're a capable writer and that you can handle it, right? So they're not as scared that there's a logic hole as they might be if you rambled or if you got defensive or whatever.
Yeah, it takes a minute to get there because I feel like the natural instinct is to defend something, especially if you know the answer to it, or if you just have to kind of take a leap to get there and you just are going and going and going. And I mean, I've definitely been there. It's not a fun place to be afterward.
Right.
That's rough.
Yeah. I mean, and that's always one that I'm always terrified of constantly, because that is very much an improv situation. But the more you do it, the better you will be at being able to think on the fly on A, how to solve the problem, but also B, how to pull off feeling unafraid that there's a problem. Like,
right.
I got this. There's a confidence thing of like, oh, there's a logic problem. Don't worry about it. I'll fix that. But look over here about like what really matters about the story. The logic problem doesn't matter.
Yeah. I've been focusing on the relationship between our two main characters. And I think this is why it's important and how it's going to play throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Easy. Freaking easy.
That one gave me anxiety just talking about it.
Hmm. All right. Here's one. Who do you see in this role?
I hate this question.
Me too.
I will often pitch actors in my actual pitch, but sometimes I don't. This one tomorrow, I don't at all. And in those cases, you sometimes get that question. I mean, I don't know. And I this is probably not the way to respond. I once got this question. I was like, well, I don't know. Don't we have a casting director? Or like, will there be a casting director? That's someone else's job. Don't do that. Do not do that. Because really what they're asking, it's not who do you think should be in this role. That's actually not what they're asking. They're kind of asking, is this a movie for a movie star? Or is this a movie for like a more indie person? They're kind of trying to, it's kind of a tone question, really. And like how big of a movie is this? Is this a movie for Brad Pitt? Or is this a movie for, Colin Farrell?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Who's sort of like more, who's doing kind of more indie-ish, off the radar stuff, right? Like who do you see in this role? They don't know. The answer is they don't, after listening to your pitch, they don't see a movie star. They don't see who should be in this role. And that means that you failed somewhere. So that's where this question is coming from, but don't panic again. Talk about if you literally can't think of like, oh God, is it Brad Pitt? Or, you can also do comps, right? You can be like, it's as if like Brad Pitt was in Mad Max, someone like that. Just describe the kind of person that you think it is. And because I'm also really bad at actor names. Like I don't know. I just blank on them for some reason. So this is a question that I hate. You're probably great at it.
I was going to say, I will always, if I'm ever talking about characters or whatever, I usually try to do the comp. And you'd be like, well, you know, it's kind of like a young Denzel. Like just like as if you can... Mm-hmm. And then it like kind of opens their brain to be like, oh, well, who are these actors who might fall into that category? It's almost like tricking someone into thinking about other actors. I feel like I always do the comp at least like, yeah, it's this guy's like ripped. He's like Brad Pitt in Fight Club. He's got like a physique or whatever. And then it's cool. Like those little things to like just kind of pepper in along the way.
It helps them visualize that this could be a movie that they're excited about.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's another one I think that comes up often.
Yeah. Similar to that. Ooh, this sounds expensive.
Story of my life.
Yeah, as two people who write big action things. Have you ever gotten this question or this comment?
You know, yes. But it is somewhat followed up by another thing that is in our, I don't want to jump ahead of the things that are said, but it's always followed up with like, you know, this sounds expensive. Is there another way to do this?
Yeah. I got this question on my very first pitch ever, which was on the Ouija movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that movie in particular is at Blumhouse. They wanted a really small movie that was very, very affordable, which means they wanted it to take place in like two locations, like a high school and a house. And that's it. And when you pitch, part of usually what you're trying to pitch is something that's exciting, that makes the listener excited. And so just setting something in a house and a school didn't seem exciting.
Yep.
But also I wasn't given this information ahead of time, right? Like I wasn't told we want to do this for a price. We want minimal locations. Please pitch around that. So I pitched this and it wasn't a big movie. It was still Ouija. It was still a small horror movie, but it had multiple locations. And they're like, could we do this just like at the school and at the girl's house? And I was like, oh God, okay, think on your feet, think on your feet, think on your feet. Yeah, I mean, the answer is always, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I think like this scene over here that happens at, you know, this whatever place in New Orleans, like we can bring that here to back to the school. And maybe it's just like a teacher who does the weird tarot card reading instead of like this person, like just start kind of thinking of ways. And that's what I did. I started just sort of pitching, brainstorming ways to bring the bigger scenes that I had like outside of these two locations into these two locations. And you could see the exec kind of nodding and being like, okay, like I could see that working. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it's just doing stuff like that.
Yeah. And so this actually, I'm just going to jump into the kind of dovetails into someone saying, hey, what if this took place in Atlanta rather than New York? Or what if this took place in Istanbul rather than, or in Budapest rather than the United States or whatever it may be? Like,
yeah,
you've gotten that before, right?
Yeah. And I sort of always say like, yeah, like,
of course.
Obviously that can change, of course. And even if you've pitched a set piece that is very particular to New York, but they want to go to Atlanta, you can just, set pieces are technically very modular. And so, yeah, we'll just find like a similar kind of vibe in Atlanta. That's absolutely fine. It's a car chase, or it's a, they got a great aquarium there in Atlanta. We could just use that, right? Like
sometimes these questions are so silly. Like they're so obvious.
They're so silly. And it's also like not the time to ask those questions in the pitch. Like, do you like the story? We can set it wherever the fuck you want. Do you like the story that I'm telling you? Because if practically you need to set it in Atlanta instead of like, sure. Yes, of course. Unless you're doing a movie about like the New York mob and they want to do it about the Atlanta mob. And then you're like, in those cases, you stick to your guns, right? Like when I've got questions of, can your main character be a man instead of a woman? You're like, well, no, it can't. And here's the reasons why. So if you need to stand your ground, you stand your ground. But if the location doesn't matter, but it matters to them in terms of, do I buy this or not? Then sure. Yeah. Okay. I've gotten this before. This part is very cool, but it feels a little dark. Can you talk more about that part of the movie? Where like, or something similar, right? Where they want you to walk them through a section of the movie because they feel a certain way about it that they don't like.
Yeah.
But they just want to understand better. Like, do they really not like it? Or is there a way through that they can see that they can get there?
It's like, wow, this isn't what we thought that movie. This isn't the movie. It's that there can't be murder like happening up and down the sidewalk in the suburbs. Is that what that moment was? Like, can you explain that again? Like that.
Yeah. I remember I pitched something bonkers. It was the guys who did A Quiet Place. And I was pitching something to them. And I pitched this set piece that even I, when I wrote it, I was like, this is too far. But it's also like shocking. So I'm just going to pitch it. I don't even remember what it was now, but I remember that I was very nervous to pitch this set piece. And then when I did, everyone kind of sat back in their chair. And I think they like changed their point of view of who they thought I was after that moment. And I didn't get the job.
Can you explain what that moment was?
It was something about some like ritual murder of dogs. Okay. And their like body parts were splayed all over the lawn of some house, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. And I used very visceral language. Yeah.
You crossed the line.
Not the smartest pitch, probably. But when someone asks, can you walk me through this a little bit more? I say, be honest.
Yeah.
If it is too dark, however, be open to being like, here's what I see for this. And kind of here's why I think it should be this way. Because, you know, my character is a serial killer, and I kind of want to be in their head and feel the darkness that he feels when he's in this space. And that's why this is particularly dark here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if that feels too dark, like, let's talk about it. Like, I'm open to pulling it back, although, like, I still want to stay true to the character because of X, Y, and Z reason. So you'll see with a lot of the answers we sort of propose you give to these questions, a lot of it is collaboration. A lot of it is being open, the same way that you would take notes from your writer's group, the way we suggest you take notes from your writer's group, where it's a conversation. Because yes, you're applying for a job by pitching the best idea, and the best idea wins. But also you're applying for a job the same way other people interview for a job, where it's like they're interviewing you. Are you someone they think that they can work with?
Yeah.
And as soon as you start to seem to them to be easy to talk to, easily take notes, really thoughtful about the notes that they give, you listen to them, they start to get excited about working with you. So this is all part of the test, basically.
Yep. Another thing I've heard, which I'd be curious if you have, is you kind of get briefly stopped. You're pitching. Someone jumps in. They're like, okay, excuse me. So where are we in the script?
Yes.
Does that happen to you?
I get that a lot. Yeah. So once I got that, I started doing, and then we break into act two, blah, 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 blah. Or this breaks us into act two.
Yeah.
And usually people nod like, okay, yeah, got where we are. And then our midpoint is this.
That's what I do as well. And it reminded me of last week. Kunkka, we brought up his tweet about doing that. He does that as well. He might do it a little more than just kind of like the pillars of the script, but I think that's very necessary in the script. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we break into act two and we're off and running.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a low point now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, don't stop me.
I hate that. I hate the stopping, but I pretend like I don't hate it. No, it's fine. It's fine. No, what's up? What's another one? I'm a little confused about the tone of this. Is something that I've certainly gotten, that you get a lot in TV more than anything.
Oh.
And yeah, if this is why I highly recommend doing a tone section in your pitch, which is interesting. Recently, I did a tone section at the top of my pitch, and I talked about film noir. And the question I got at the end of the pitch was, what did you mean by film noir? Because when everyone says film noir, everyone means something different. Do you mean Maltese Falcon? Do you mean LA Confidential? Like, what is your version of a film noir? And so I had to tell them what I thought a film noir meant. And then he's like, oh, okay. Then, yeah, like, I see what you're saying now. It's not the boring old, like, Maltese Falcon version, which I don't think is boring for the record, but that's what he was trying to get across. It's like, it's a modern film noir, right? Yes, it is.
Yeah, I've bumped into this with action comedies. When we've talked about this a lot on the podcast, is sometimes when you say something's an action comedy, everyone has their own version of what that means. Is it Central Intelligence or is it True Lies? Is it a Will Ferrell movie or is it an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie or whatever, you know, or Mr. and Mrs. Smith. So, you always have to kind of give the comps of what something
at the top
is.
Yeah. So people don't ask these questions. So they also aren't going through your entire pitch distracted by, wait, what is the tone of this? Because then they miss what your pitch is, right? So if you establish them right at the front, it's a film noir version of Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Whatever. That's very helpful to everybody.
So I think just one more for me that I've gotten is just being asked to dig into the main characters a bit more, which is not good, probably. But I've been in the scenario where I've just made things up, and I've been in the scenario where I've been totally prepared. And it's great to be prepared. But I don't know if that happens to you a lot, but it's definitely happened to me before, of like just having to kind of reiterate who these characters are and why we care about them.
Yeah.
Which is not good. That should come through in the pitch, but.
But it's tough though, because in a pitch, you also have to make sure that the movie makes sense, right? Like that the plot is tracking, that you're hitting that midpoint and that low point and that third act boom climax.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of moving pieces that you have to do. And sometimes you think you've done enough character stuff, but you actually haven't. And it is a careful dance you have to do. Because also pitching, writing the script of a pitch is a different skill than actually writing a script. To be able to convey to another person verbally what a movie is, what it looks like, what it feels like, how you're going to feel as an audience member, how it's structured. Like, all that is fucking hard.
Yeah.
And is not a skill you automatically just have. And they don't teach it to you either. So it's a lot of trial and error and learning as you go and failing a lot at first. And so, yeah, I've gotten this for sure. And oftentimes it's because I am short shifting the characters in favor of getting through the plot. Instead of, and I try to do this, but sometimes I forget, or sometimes I'm not skilled enough to do it, but you have to lead, and especially in a pitch, you lead through the plot via the character's point of view, such as, what's an example? So now we're in act two, and Josh is feeling lost after what happened in act one.
Mm-hmm.
And so Josh goes to this person. He goes to a hitman. And like, we're in Josh's point of view as I'm telling you this, because they're getting his emotions rather than saying, like, kind of just being sort of stepping back and being like, Josh goes to a hitman. Josh mm-hmm. does this. And then the hitman, blah, 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 blah. Like, what is Josh feeling in all of these moments? And bring us through the plot that way, if that example made any sense.
So much sense. Do you have any more?
I have one that comes up in TV a lot that I want to share as my last one, which is what happens with the characters across multiple seasons? How do your characters arc over the course of the show? And that can be very hard, because it's hard enough to write a pilot, let alone to think about how seven seasons of television is going to go. But please always have an answer to this question, even if it changes, and it probably will over the course of actually developing the show. But when you go into a pitch, make sure you have a very clear idea of where your characters are probably going to end the season emotionally. Maybe also physically. Maybe that's part of your story, is like, they start from rags to riches, and that's really important.
Yeah.
But, you know, Breaking Bad is a great example, right? Mr. Chippy to Scarface.
Yeah.
That's a very clear arc. So having, not that you have to have that turn of phrase handy, but just being able to talk about, okay, yeah, absolutely. Like, you heard the pilot, you heard what my first season is. Well, when the series is over, they're going to end up like this, and their relationship is going to be like this. So it's taking sort of your major characters in your TV show and saying where they end up, but also what their relationships are going to end up as. Like, if it's a mother son story, they end up hating each other by the end because of X, Y, and Z. Like, just knowing those things can be really helpful,
because
mm-hmm. you will be asked.
Pitching, man.
Can't wait to take the rest of the week off after my pitch tomorrow.
Yeah, you're almost there. You're going to be hanging out. Can go see a movie, maybe.
That's too exhausting. Okay. Quote of the day.
Quote of the day.
The only worthwhile advice is the most general. Keep trying. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Don't pay attention to detractors. Joyce Carol Oates. Please remember to rate and subscribe. Follow us at Act 2 Writers for more awesome writing stuff. You can follow me, Tasha, at Story Thursday on Instagram, or on Twitter at Tasha3.0.
I'm Joshua Hallman on Twitter, Josh Hallman on Instagram.
And as always, the Act 2 podcast is a production of Act 2, a network and support group for the everyday working screenwriter. This episode was edited by Paul Lundquist.